Good evening. Please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. Again, that is 1 Corinthians 15, 33. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits.
Good to be with you again tonight. Hope everyone had a good and restful afternoon. It's good to be back. We appreciate our young men reading the scripture this morning, Landon, and tonight with Josh. And that's very exciting to see our young men growing to the point where they can do that sort of thing and serve the congregation. We certainly appreciate that. I remember when I first got here, we were saying those kind of things about Matt and Mark. That was 9 years ago, 7 or 8 inches ago. But it's wonderful to see them grow physically, but also spiritually. We appreciate that very much. Sometimes we hear on the news too frequently, really, of someone becoming a victim to some kind of scam. I remember hearing several years ago of an older couple that was robbed by two men posing as Social Security investigators. And again, often we hear of people who sometimes will lose their life savings because they get involved in some kind of investment scheme that really is too good to be true. But the truth is, all of us are subject to being deceived. People sometimes are naive, but regardless of who you are, all of us at one time or another have been deceived. We read about it, of course, even in the scriptures. Isaac was deceived by the hairy arms of Jacob into thinking that he was blessing Esau. We remember that. And, a little bit later, Jacob was deceived when his sons brought him the bloody coat of Joseph. He was deceived into thinking his favorite son was dead. And so we see that from time to time, people being deceived. And while that happens in the physical realm, certainly we need to be aware that we can be deceived spiritually. And that is far more severe, really. And the Spirit knows that, and so we are warned in several places about that. Turn your Bibles over to Romans chapter 16, for example, and notice what Paul wrote. Romans chapter 16, and at verse 17. Romans, the 16th chapter, and at verse 17, Paul sets forth this exhortation. He says, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught, and avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites. And then he says, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. And then over in the book of Ephesians, Paul refers to this sort of thing. Again, he gives another exhortation, Ephesians chapter 4, and this time verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4, and at verse 14, he says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. And one more, we could look at several, but the next chapter over in Ephesians chapter 5 and at verse 6, Paul says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And so, again, the Spirit is warning us not to be deceived because he knows there are many false teachers out there and many false doctrines and sometimes We're easily deceived and moved away from the truth. But it's not only in regard to that. We just have to be aware that sometimes we can be deceived in other areas, and the only way to avoid that is simply to be careful about it. Let me give you a few examples here tonight. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians, the 6th chapter, and at verse 7, beginning at verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, and at verse 7, Paul writes the following: "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." And so we shouldn't be deceived when it comes down to sowing and reaping. I can think of at least three things with regard to that where we need to be careful. Number one, we need to understand that the only way that we're going to reap anything is if we sow first. And I know we understand that when it comes to the physical realm. That is very easy physically. Nobody expects to reap something that they haven't sown. Like, you don't go out and look out your kitchen window at a particular spot in the yard and think, "Now, I'm just waiting for some tomatoes to come up here because I want that," but you never planted any tomato plant or no seed or anything like that. You don't do that, do you? We're not that silly. But why is it in the spiritual realm, sometimes we think we are going to reap something when we haven't done any sowing? We need to understand collectively, congregationally, and individually that if we're going to sow, or if we're going to reap, rather, we have to sow. And sometimes it's like we want to take the shortcut. We want to be a great congregation. We want to flourish and we want to grow and we want to be fantastic in every way as a local congregation, but we don't put in the work to do that. If we want to be a great congregation, we have to act like it. If we want to grow numerically as a congregation, we literally have to sow the spiritual seed of the kingdom. But it's not just that. If we want to be a loving congregation, if we want to be a sound congregation, we have to do all the things that will help us to do that. We can't just expect to be that without doing any sowing. And it's true individually as well. If you want to be the kind of Christian God wants you to be, then you have to sow properly. You say, "I wish I had more knowledge of the Bible." Well, then you're going to have to study the Bible. You're going to have to do the sowing. And in every realm you think about, the more you sow, the more you're going to reap. That's just the law of sowing and reaping. And again, we understand that physically. I've given the illustration before of somebody who might be out at the water pump and wanting to get some water. You can picture the fella out there and he's moving that lever, but hardly at all. He's just kind of going down, and then you wait a few seconds, raise it back up and go down again. And he's not getting any water, is he? But if he puts some action into it, and then he really pumps hard and fast, the water is going to flow. Why? Because the more you put into something, the more you're going to get out of it. And that's just life, really. That's true in almost every walk of life. Physically, it doesn't always stand true, but generally speaking, it is. The more you put into your marriage, the more you'll get out. The more you put into your education, the better education you will get. The more you put into your occupation, the more success that you have. Again, physically, that's just generally speaking, but it is true, isn't it? We know the principle that the more we sow, the more we will reap. And Paul even makes the point, as you know, from a financial standpoint with regard to the Lord in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you might recall. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and at verse 6. Listen at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and at verse 6. Paul writes, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That's just the law of sowing and reaping. And so don't be deceived about that. Don't sit back and think, well, I'm going to reap great things, but you're not ever doing any sowing. We shouldn't deceive ourselves individually or collectively. But also another thing with regard to sowing and reaping very quickly is we understand that we are going to reap whatever it is that we sow. Like, you know, again, physically, no one's confused about that. You plant a peach seed, you're going to get a peach tree. Everybody knows that. Why is it that spiritually we sometimes forget that? We are going to sow what we reap. Paul, in the context of Galatians chapter 6, again, he talks about the sowing to the flesh and the sowing of the spirit. And we're going to reap accordingly. This is how he put it. He says at verse 8, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap what? Corruption. That's just the way it's going to be. Like, you can't live wrong and die right. That's impossible. You'd be surprised how many people are living their life like that. It's almost as if they think, I can live any way that I want to, but in the end, I'm still going to reap something good. I can sow to the flesh, but I'm going to reap eternal life, Paul says. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived about that. That's not the way it works. If you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. We can, again, appreciate that. It's not a might or maybe. You live right. You sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life, because that's the law of sowing and weeping and reaping. Let's not deceive ourselves about that. Let's look at another one. What about the scripture reading for tonight? Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're very familiar with this. At verse 33, another area where Paul warns us not to be deceived. And by the way, in all of these passages, Paul begins with those words, be not deceived. And there's a reason for that. These are areas, particular areas, where there's a whole lot of deception. Self-deception. A lot of people just simply don't believe these things or deny these things in life. And so Paul is warning us, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Oh, not with me. That's not true with me. I can hang around with anybody I want to. It's not going to affect me even a little bit. Paul says again, do not be deceived. Our young people need to understand that. Your friends matter. Who you hang out with from day to day matters. But it's not just the young people. We all need to understand that. The fact of the matter is, when we hang out with those who are ungodly and unrighteous, they probably are going to influence us for evil. And I know we believe in our hearts, no, I'm going to be doing the influencing. I'm going to have the bigger impact on them than the other way around. But how often does that turn out the other way? We have to be careful about that. Why would you, as a child of God, want to associate with and make best friends of the world those who hate your Heavenly Father? Those who would curse your Heavenly Father? Those who don't live by the principles of the gospel of Christ. Why would you think you can do that and everything would turn out all right? And it's not just people. We need to understand that the principle can be applied to all kind of areas. The kind of books that you read. The kind of TV that you watch. There's so many Christians who think, I can watch movies that just filled with cussing and cursing and filled with nudity and all of that, and it won't affect my thinking at all. And Paul says, don't be deceived. It does affect us. That sin creeps into our mind. And all of a sudden, the devil has a stronghold in our mind. And he influences our thinking by the things that we allow to dwell in our minds. And we have to be careful about that. And again, it's also true in the doctrinal area. In fact, that is probably what Paul is dealing with the most here. We usually have, because he uses the word morals here, we miss the overall point. Really, Paul, you recall from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, is dealing with the resurrection. And he's dealing with those at Corinth who were denying the resurrection. And so it was really a doctrinal problem. But sometimes doctrinal problems can lead to moral problems. Because if you're thinking, well, there's not going to be a resurrection, what are you going to do? How are you going to live your life? Why wouldn't you just live your life your way? As Paul says in some places, why wouldn't you just eat, drink, and be merry? Because after all, tomorrow you're going to die, and that's just going to be it. And you see how that false doctrine can influence people negatively. And it's still true today. Maybe not simply from the standpoint of morals, but certainly doctrinally. Remember the passage in Ephesians 4 and at verse 14. Don't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. It's amazing how many Christians go astray because they read a religious book, commentary, or whatever it might be. And it's setting forth some kind of false doctrine. Or they watch some dynamic TV evangelist. And they become obsessed. And they think, boy, he's good. Or these days, she's good. And all of a sudden, they latch on to a false doctrine. We have to be careful what we allow in our minds, whatever the avenue is. Whether it's people we're hanging out with or doctrines that we're listening to or television shows that we're watching, we can become corrupt. Bad company corrupts good morals. Don't be deceived about that. But let's look at one more very quickly, this time in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and beginning at verse 9. Paul says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Listen to it. Be not deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexual, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. We shouldn't be deceived about who's going to be saved. There's two areas where we could talk about that. First of all, with those who have never obeyed the gospel, sometimes we get to believing that some people are saved who simply aren't saved. And it might be because they're family members or someone that we're close to. Maybe they're religiously inclined and they go to church somewhere. And we begin to think, well, you know, they're good religious people who love the Lord. And so I think probably they're going to make it to heaven. And I even hear members of the church sometimes talk about family members who have died outside of the body of Christ. And you just can hear it in their words. They believe somehow they made it. Be not deceived. We know who is going to go to heaven, not specifically individually, but we know what it takes to go to heaven. A person has to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and of those who have reached the age of accountability, there is no exception to that. Romans 1 and at verse 16, only those who obey the gospel, the power of God unto salvation, are going to be saved. We know that. We know tonight, those of us who are Christians, which most of us here tonight, we understand what it takes, the plan of salvation. We know there has to be belief and there has to be repentance and confession. There has to be a baptism into Christ. We know all of that. And don't be deceived. It doesn't matter who it is. The one who hasn't obeyed the gospel is not in Christ. I've often put that circle on the screen. Representing the body of Christ, where all spiritual blessings are located. If you could just picture in your mind that circle representing being in Christ, every single person who has reached the age of accountability, who's not in that circle, it could be a mother or a father, it could be a brother or a sister, a best friend, it doesn't matter who it is, anyone not in that circle is lost. Doesn't matter how good they are, doesn't matter how religious they are, doesn't matter how sincere they may be. Be not deceived. Those who aren't in that circle, those who aren't in Christ, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's very important for us to realize, because how can we help those who are lost if we deceive ourselves into thinking that they're saved? And we're not helping them. We're helping them to stay lost. And that's a sad situation. Let's be aware of who is saved and who is not. And by the way, there's a second category. Here, of course, we know that Paul is writing to those who are in that circle. At least those who have obeyed the gospel of Christ. And he's warning them because they came out of a world dominated by immorality. He's letting them know, you can't go back there. You can't be a drunkard and think that you're going to be saved. You can't be a fornicator and think that you're going to be saved. You can't be a thief and think that you're going to be saved. You can't be an unfaithful member of the Church of Christ and think that you're going to be saved. Don't deceive yourself. Maybe it's not one of those blatant sins that we all know are wrong. Maybe you're just halfway committed. Don't be deceived about who's going to heaven. Maybe you serve God just sporadically. Don't be deceived about who's going to heaven. Maybe your sin is one that is a little more acceptable by most. Maybe it's something like gossip. Maybe it's something like being unkind. Do not be deceived. All unrighteousness separates from God. The bottom line is we have to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then we have to be faithful to the very best of our ability. When we do sin, we have to get it right. We have to pray God and ask for forgiveness, Acts chapter 8 at verse 22, and then continue to live faithfully. And it doesn't matter how long you've been a member of the Lord's church. Maybe your parents were members or are members of the Lord's church, and maybe your grandparents and even your great-grandparents, maybe you come from a long line of Christians. None of that matters. If you're not living the way you should, the way the Bible demands that you do, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul tells these saints, do not be deceived. It's easy to deceive ourselves when we're right, when we're not living according to the Word of God. We can be very naive sometimes. Let's examine ourselves, make sure that we have truly obeyed the gospel of Christ, and then that we're living the way we ought to. Because when we're doing that, we can have some confidence in the fact that we're going to heaven. Remember, if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap eternal life. Paul tells us in Romans, the eighth chapter, that our spirit will bear witness with the Holy Spirit that we are sons of God. In other words, when everything lines up, when we look at what the Holy Spirit teaches, as is revealed in this book we call the Bible, and we know that we're living by His revelation, then we're not deceived about anything. We know that we're going to go to heaven. But you have to make sure it lines up. It's not tricky. Nothing difficult about it. You have to make sure you're living by the Word of God. If you think somehow you can bypass that, and because you're you, you're going to go to heaven. Don't be deceived. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. So let's not be naive. Let's not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Let's make sure that we're on the right track and that we stay there. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't ever obeyed the gospel. Don't think you're good enough to go to heaven all by yourself. You need the grace of God, and you can only have that when you obey the gospel. Maybe you're a child of God and you haven't really been sowing the way you ought to be sowing. Or maybe you've been sowing to the flesh. Do something about it tonight. Repent and ask God for forgiveness. Come forward if you have sinned publicly and ask for the prayers of the church. We'll gladly give those to you. It's the least we can do. We'll help you in any way that we can. We'll encourage you. But make sure that you really are on the road that leads to the kingdom of heaven. That is, to heaven itself. But don't leave here deceived. If you recognize that you need help, do something about it. Come forward as we together stand in sync.